You're listening to Radio Cine, 24 hours continuous cinema on the internet and into your ears. www.radiocine.org.
Hello and welcome to Radio Cine again. Due to some technical problems, we've lost the first 30 seconds of the interview we've done with John Cameron Mitchell, director of, you know, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and especially Shore Bus, which is the movie we talk about. But our first question was about sex, since like it's the main theme of his films. If he thinks that his films have too much sex, or by the contrary, actually films have very few sex, they don't talk about sex, it's like forbidden. Here is his answer and the rest of the interview. Thank you.
Sex, but it certainly uses it. In some ways, my last film, Hedwig, wasn't about music, but it uses it as a vehicle for emotion and ideas, and it's like the palette of the paints, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, yes, we don't see it used a whole lot in a very complicated way. Certainly there's a lot of pornography and there's a lot of sexual imagery, but it tends to be pretty flat, you know, and free of ideas and emotions, and or it's very negative. You know, a lot of art films lately have been using a lot of sex from Europe and Latin America, but the portrayal is always very negative, which seems to me almost, it's becoming a bit of a cliche to...
Yes, it's like there's some relation with violence and sex films, like, okay, they are for older people, they are prohibited, and violence and sex are very different, if you think.
I know. I mean, certainly they can be connected, but they're also very independent. It's funny, in the States, when people talk about sex and violence, those are the two things they're afraid of to be shown on television, for example. And people are much more comfortable with violence, seeing violence on film, and letting their children see violence, probably because it's less complicated in those action movies than sex might be. Sex brings up more questions from their children than violence, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Kids go, people get killed and then you kill them. It's a video game. But sex as a video game is more complicated.
Sure. And in your film, I think you have had a lot of time with the actors, the players, exist for doing the film, and as you say on the titles, it was developed with the actors.
Yes, we realized, I wanted to make a film that used the language of sex in a way that I hadn't seen, and I realized that for the actors to feel safe, they should really help create their characters and the story, so they really know where they are, they feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They really identify with their characters. So what we did was we had an open website call, audition call.
Uh-huh.
People sent in tapes. And we auditioned them, and we chose a group of interesting actors who could act well and could possibly be sexually compatible. It could be couples, maybe. We didn't know because we had no story.
Mm-hmm.
But we all went into improvisation workshops,
mm-hmm.
off and on for 2.5 years to come up with ideas, to work together, to learn how to improvise together, to learn how to rehearse, to watch movies, to play games, to play sports, and become friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went away and wrote a script, and then we kept rehearsing it, and then we got the money, and we shot the film in the same spirit of looseness. You know, the script is very structured, but they're allowed to ad lib and paraphrase. You know, in fact, they were forced to paraphrase.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted them to do the lines exactly as written. I always wanted them to change it. So we had a long time to get comfortable, to work on the script, and I think it helped in making the characters more real.
Yes, I think that's something that you see on the film, that it's very, you can say, naturalistic. But one thing that surprises me is that your style is not like a documentary, for instance. You know, usually for doing a film more real, people tend to do a documentary style, but you refuse it. Are you, I don't know how to say, a character of the film does a documentary about himself? Do you think there are lots of documentaries, actually?
Do I think a lot of... What was that last question?
Yes. Do you decide to do the style of the film because there are lots of documentary style, of documentary films, actually?
Well, you know, the film does use a lot of handheld camera, which you could identify as documentary, but we were very specific in that we wanted it to have more of a fairy, like a realistic fairy tale feeling. Mm-hmm. We did have handheld to save time, and it helps with improvisation. Mm-hmm. But we shot on 16mm, which, mm-hmm. you know, most documentaries are now on video.
Yes.
We wanted to avoid that. Mm-hmm. Of course, documentaries used to be on 16 in the 60s, but mm-hmm. We also had this animation, the cityscape, which as in connective material, and that gives it a sort of fairy tale feeling too.
Mm-hmm.
The acting, though, is quite realistic and quite naturalistic, but within a context that is somewhat heightened. You know, this isn't exactly the way New York is. It's almost more like what it could be like, or what it is like at times. So, for example, the blackout, which we, in making a small budget film, we can't show a real blackout, though we could have, I guess, used documentary footage. But instead, we thought, oh, it'd be interesting to do it as an animated, you know, cityscape. And the spirit of the blackout, though, in real life, was like a fairy tale. I mean, that marching band was marching around that night.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Bond was singing, and there were bonfires and parties, and it was a beautiful night where there was harmony and no looting or violence, because 2 years earlier, 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had the blackout here, everyone thought it was a terrorist attack again.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we realized it wasn't, people were very kind to each other, you know?
Yeah.
It was a perfect, you know, moment. The most beautiful night in New York that made me and many people think this is the way it should be, this is the way it should always be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the spirit of the film.
Yeah. What was the reaction of the people that have seen your film? Because it has been shown in Cannes. What has the people told you about the film?
Well, I decided not to read any reviews for this one,
uh-huh.
or box office, because I feel that can never really be satisfied with that.
Mm-hmm.
And people aren't always honest, as honest as they are when they're hiding behind the critical byline, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I prefer to get my responses from people one-on-one, or from audiences, groups of people. And we get a lot of people very moved, you know. A lot of people, even my friends, say, it's not what I expected. I was laughing and I was crying.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're talking about the sex. And I say, you were laughing and crying, which was not what you expected. Well, what do you expect of sex in your own life?
Yeah.
I mean, is it humorless? Is it emotionless? You know, come on. You know, let's remind ourselves that sex is part of life. It's complicated, it's ridiculous, it's sad, it's all of these things, and usually it's about something else. Usually it's about trying not to be alone. Sometimes it's just jerking off. But oftentimes it's very connected to this, you know, human condition, situation we find ourselves in,
mm-hmm.
this question we have to ask, are we going to be alone or not alone? And that can be a sexual question, it can be romantic, it can be a political question. You know, are we going to be alone in this world? If we're going to, are we going to try to make the world a better place? Are we not? You could say the film is a little bit utopian in a 60s kind of a way, but I think of it as not as adolescent as the 60s. It's kind of a realistic optimism.
Yeah, it's like a sentence that a character says on the film. Now it's like the 60s, but now in this time, or similar.
With less hope, yeah.
With less hope, that's it.
Yeah, which doesn't mean no hope. It just means we feel powerless. And it's only through... Nowadays, it seems like it has to be through pop culture that we communicate things, even politically. You know, rallies, and certainly in the U.S., you know, rallies and old-fashioned ways of being political are useless. You know, it's like it took Bush making disastrous mistakes for people to wake up a little bit. But that doesn't make them inspired. It just makes them dissatisfied. You know, it's like, it is like the 60s in that people want change, but they feel that change is less possible. So with films like Short Bus and the things that I do, I want to make it, for a few people, make it feel like change is possible, like hope is possible. That's the feeling we want to give at the end of the film.
Sure. And just the last question for the future. Are you going to do a film in this line, making people to feel hope? For the future, what do you have plans?
One of my films is a really more of a direct fairy tale, you know, in about it's called Oscar Fishman, and it's you'll see it on IMDb, but it's about this sort of boy man who's never left his town and he's never had a birthday party, and he a balloon lands in his yard with an invitation from a little boy who has no one to celebrate his birthday with. An invitation to a party. So this man leaves his town for the first time to find the boy and celebrate his birthday with him. So it's a very, very fairy, very much a fairy tale, and very much more stylized than my other films. So, yeah, I mean, I always want my films to be useful to people in some way. I don't like to make films only for personal therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to do a little bit of that, but it also has to be good for other people, you know, it has to be useful.
Okay, so, John, thank you very much. Congratulations for Short Bus, and the best of luck.
Okay, thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, it's Amos Gitai, and this is greetings to Radio Cine, and shalom.